Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's traumatic. That's traumatic. Anyway, I'm glad you have the opportunity to do this for your kids, John. That is a great thing, and you should be awfully happy and proud about that. Thank you. I certainly try to be.
Thanks, brother.
See ya. Yeah. All right. If you're looking for a new, you know what? I don't have time to do this. We're gonna take a break. Come back. Talk to Chris Harrington. We got Sam Hardiman too. Busy second hour. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Lost by the Meat Puppets from their mid-80s album, Meat Puppets 2. The only band I know of that's from Phoenix, Arizona, so in honor of the Suns tonight.
Grizz, this would be a fun one to win for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's not definite that the Grizzlies are going to get the Suns pick, is it? It's just the most likely scenario?
No, I'm laughing only because I've been asked this 75 times. Oh. I'm going to be asked this. It's fine. I'm prepared. I'm going to be asked this another 475 times, and it never stops being complicated. The Grizzlies are likely to get the Phoenix pick. It is not that simple technically. If you read the language of the trade stuff, it's not the Grizzlies get the Phoenix pick. But the most likely scenario is that the Grizzlies get the Phoenix pick.
Is it an overwhelmingly likely scenario?
Well, it depends on what you think about the teams. The likelihood of that is based on the projection of teams. And so if there are four teams involved in this. It's Washington, four picks involved in this. Uh-huh. The Washington pick, the Phoenix pick, the Orlando pick, the Grizzlies pick. Or I should say the Grizzlies pick, Orlando pick. That's expected order that they'll fall. And the first choice in that group, barring another complication, would be Washington. And the second and third choice both are with the Grizzlies. And so when people map that out, they say, okay, the Grizzlies are going to get the Phoenix pick and keep their own. But it could be different.
I see. The Grizzlies.
Orlando's 1-3 right now. The Grizzlies could, if Orlando was worse than the Grizzlies, Grizzlies could move up.
In addition to rooting against the Suns, we really should be rooting against all of them.
Well, the Washington thing's complicated. You should root against the Suns and the Magic. The thing about Washington is their pick is only this four-pick swap. The Washington pick is only involved in the four-team swap if their pick is in the top eight. If their pick is outside the top eight, New York gets their pick and it's a three-team swap. So that gets complicated, right? And so it would actually probably be better because the Grizzlies can't get the Washington pick in the swap. It'd probably be better if Washington was had the 12th pick and they're just not involved at all. That's the only way you get the number one pick. Because in the scenario, if the Phoenix pick jumps to number one and the Washington pick jumps to number two, Washington gets the number one pick, Grizzlies get the number two pick because Washington is first in line. So if you take Washington out of the mix completely, that's probably better for the Grizzlies, but what are the odds of that? And so if you don't believe Washington can be outside the bottom eight, which I don't think they will be, you want them to be as bad as possible, so you just push all the picks towards the top.
So the simplest thing is to root against all of them.
Yes.
And the most likely scenario is just because it's how we ordered the team. It's Washington will be the worst, then the Suns, then the Grizzlies, then Orlando.
But if the Suns pick, if Suns and Washington are both in the lottery and the Suns pick jumps the Washington pick, Washington gets first choice. They would get the Suns pick. then the Grizzlies would get the Washington pick.
Are you pretty persuaded that Washington and Phoenix will be in the lottery?
Yeah, yeah. I would be very surprised if either of those teams was not in the lottery. Now, there's a difference between being slotted first, second, third, and being slotted 11, 12, right? But yes, I think both those teams will be below the play-in line.
And the Grizz may well be in the lottery.
Could be. That's more dicey.
Could be. All right. And they're off to a struggling start, the Suns. That's good. They did beat. They got one win. What do you make of the Suns?
So they're 1-3. They've only played one home game before tonight, and they won that game, which was against Sacramento. They've lost three on the road. They got blown out by a couple good teams, I think the Nuggets and maybe the Clippers, and they lost in overtime to the Jazz. And so, you know, they're sort of doing what you would have thought they would do to this point for the most part. So we'll see. They have not played a game, and tonight won't be the first. They have not played a game this season with both Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks in the lineup. Jalen Green has been out to start the season. He is now questionable for tonight, so he might play. Dylan Brooks is out tonight with a groin injury. And so, you know, on paper, that's the second, third best players on their team. And so they haven't had both of those guys around Devin Booker yet. There's a chance they have neither tonight, depending on the Jalen Green thing. But Dylan Brooks is out, and he's been their second leading scorer and best defender.
They got old friend Grayson Allen on the team.
He's getting a lot of minutes, a lot of shots. It's not a lot of depth on that team. So he's averaging like 17, 18 a game.
They're not a team that's going to punish you with their bigs. I don't know what Mark Williams is, minutes restrictions.
Mark Williams has had injury stuff to start the season. So I don't know what his status will be tonight. He is very big. Like, he had a big game against the Grizzlies with the Hornets last year in FedEx Forum.
Just destroyed them.
He's an enormous guy. You have Zach Edey in his way. So if I were looking for something to be concerned about, the idea that his size alone, the rest of the bigs, I agree, his size alone like could be an issue, given the Grizzlies' current lineup. That's certainly true. But, like, I don't think they have anybody to defend Jaren. And so one of my notes for the Grizzlies would be, unlike the last game against Golden State, get him opportunities early and often against this team. Because I don't know who's defending him. I mean, Ryan Dunn's a really good defender, but he's like 6'6".
Yeah, I don't know what Mark Williams' health is. I think that's because he hasn't been starting. The second round.
He is not. I have him on my fantasy team, so he's had an injury designation to start the season. I can tell you that. But he has played.
Jordan Ott is the head coach who used to be with Cleveland, I think. I think that's where he came from. But anyway, it seemed like it's a disaster.
It's a mess that they seem to really want Devin Booker to be their Dirk. But, like, at some point, like, when you know, Dirk got a title, you know?
Right.
And so I wonder how that will go. I mean, his contract is enormous. I mean, he's going to be making, like, 70-something million on the extension he signed. So I don't know if you could trade him even if you wanted to. He's still really good. He's averaging 28, 29 points a game. But he is not the kind of really good who's going to put a team on his back and win games.
Unlike Giannis, we'll get to him in a minute. Yes. Vince Williams, questionable tonight.
Yeah, upgrade. Surprising upgrade. Yeah. The Vince thing was very mysterious. Not mysterious, but very uncertain when he was missing games at the end of the regular season. It was clearly, they called it a heel initially, then they made this ankle impingement. But it was clearly related to the ankle injury last year. He was not feeling good about it. It was very unclear to me whether, I even asked Isolo after a game, one of the home games, I'm like, there's no injury report on him. Is he day-to-day? Is he week-to-week? Like, what even is this? I don't know if they even knew. But this is a sign that, like, you know, maybe it's making some progress and there he's going to try to play through it rather than it being some, like, long-term, you know, thing. So we'll see.
What's the order of return? Do we think Ty Jerome's next?
I think Zach Edey is next.
Zach Edey is next.
Yeah. Edey, based on the initial timeline they put out, and there's been no update of that timeline, or the most recent timeline they put out, would be somewhere in the 2 to 4 week range now, maybe even less than that. Maybe that was like a few days ago when it was that was the case. And so if that timeline holds, it seems like he could be back by Thanksgiving.
That'd be terrific.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, it could be like 2 weeks from now, you know, it could be, you know, sooner than that.
While we're on the topic of the NBA, the Heat just keep blasting people.
Yeah, the Heat might be good. The thing about the Grizzlies 2-2 start, if you look at the teams they played, it's hard to get a read because the two teams they've beaten, New Orleans and Indiana, have not won a game against anybody. They look terrible. And so, like, what does that mean to beat those two teams? But the two teams they've lost to, Miami is, you know, they do have a loss, but they've got like a plus 16 point differential and they're playing great. And then, you know, Golden State went into not went into, I think they stayed at home, but back-to-back last night, 20-point win against the Clippers.
Clippers scored 79 in that.
Yeah, game. And so, like, the two teams the Grizzlies have beaten look bad, and the two teams the Grizzlies have lost to look really good, and so, you know, who knows. The Miami thing, by the way, and I did a small note about this in the game story. I wasn't sure how much more. It's just on the fly. I don't know how meaningful it was, but like Noah LaRoche is working, the assistant coach for the Grizzlies,
yeah, said that.
Is working for the Heat in some capacity. He's not listed as an assistant coach, but he was at the game. And Zach Lowe in his podcast had a note about, you know, Miami's trying to use some of that offensive stuff the Grizzlies did last season and with some of the same people. And you look at the start they've had, it may be that, you know, some of those that stuff is working for them.
Right. 144 points last night. Big win over, I think it was Hornets, but still. All right. Your top 25 Grizzlies countdown. We had 25 was Steven Adams. 24 is Santi.
Yeah. Right, and in time for when the fans are feeling great about Santi.
Right. Exactly. As I was going to say. Fans aren't feeling. Yeah. How do we feel about Santi right now?
You know, I think he's had kind of a shaky start to this season. He had a good stat line against the Warriors, but people watching the game were rightly frustrated with him in some of the moments in that game. I was as well. Santi is, you know, when I wrote the little intro that went along with the Steven Adams pick last week, sort of explaining the whole thing, you know, I talked about the old Bill James formulation, the baseball guy Bill James formulation of career value and peak value.
Yeah.
And those are two different things. And like when you're talking about an athlete, you know, ranking players or whatever, you sort of have to take both into account. And like Steven Adams is one of the poster boys in the Grizzlies history for peak value.
Right.
And Santi, maybe not top of the list of more of a career, but of career value. He's still young, but he's on the list mostly because of the career value, the growing career value. He's now in his second contract with the team. The years are accumulating. The games are accumulating to the point that he's starting to move up in the franchise ranks. I don't remember off the top of my head, but if you take out the Vancouver players, he'd be top 25 in points in the franchise, top 25 in rebounds, you know, three-pointers, some of that stuff. And so they're starting to accumulate with him. And so he sort of just made the cut.
Also ranked Spanish players. He's yet another Spanish player who's played for the Grizzlies. And I didn't know, 23 of the 25 years the Grizzlies have had a Spanish player.
And my question is, how many of those have they had the best Spanish player? Because right now, Santi's probably the best. It's a low period.
Right.
But it's probably, he was the leading scorer in the national team, probably the best Spanish player. So yeah, with Santi, when I was trying to, with a lot of these, I'm trying to think of like some specific thing to write about, not just make it a Wikipedia entry. And so with Santi, three things came to mind. One was, you know, the Grizzlies' history of Spanish players, which a lineage he has continued. And one was this tendency during the Zach Kleiman era to always trade up to target players in the draft, and often players you don't expect, which Santi was one of those. And then there's this the thing during the Morant era of being like team alley-oop and some of that, and Santi's been prominent in that with the reverse dunks and sort of the style he plays with. I decided like maybe the thing with Santi is that the Venn diagram overlap of those three things is only one person, and it's only him.
You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. In terms of the draft, that was the Zaire draft, I think, right? The Zaire Williams draft.
I think
it was.
That's
yes. So they picked Zaire. In fact, there was a while.
So it was a double move up. Both separate trades, but both were a result of trade.
And as you point out, very much Zach Kleiman's MO to move up in the draft.
Target a player and go get him. Yeah.
It's interesting because then you brought up this sort of.
Target a range. That's the thing with Zaire. They actually didn't target a player.
Right. But then you bring up separately that sometimes it has been to target not just to move up, but to move up to an unexpected player. And I would say
David Roddy is the classic.
David Roddy is the
classic.
Nobody
had him as a
first. But what's interesting is that when they have moved up for expected players who people thought, it has been a more successful venture. Brandon Clark, Desmond Bane, those weren't moving up for unexpected players. Those were people who said, why the hell are they still available?
Yeah.
As opposed to
I think Cower definitely applies because I literally wrote the day before, you know, like I had someone ask me on draft night, what do you think they're going to do? And I said, they're going to trade up for Cedric Coward,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
The Bane thing, Bane was so good that it's a little bit of retroactive there. I don't know. Like I had written, like that's actually one of my best trade calls ever was my draft preview piece that year. I suggested one and only one trade, and it was the Grizzlies use their ability to take on salary to get the 30th pick from Boston. But I didn't mention Desmond Bane.
Right.
I thought the maneuver to get that pick made sense, but I had no particular bead on him as the player they would pick.
It is sort of interesting to me though. The I don't pay a lot of attention to grades after draft night. Right?
Yeah.
I don't at all.
Ashamed to beat, B plus.
Right. But the team, even Elaravia turned out to be a decent player for where he was drafted. But
yeah,
the guys that they went up and got, who people are like, really? Are the guys who did not, like, there were a lot of, really about Zaire's,
Yep.
All he was tools with no production.
Right.
A lot of, really, certainly a lot of that with Roddy.
Right.
Some of that with Elaravia. You're right. Santi may be the one who's a surprise who's turned out, as you point out, only Herb Jones picked after him better.
Of the guys in the second round, Santi was like last pick in the first round. Of the 30 picks in the second round, the only one who's had a better career is Herb Jones. And of the other guys who were in the bottom third of that first round, that 21 to 30 range, there's like two other guys, Cam Thomas, I can't remember who the other one was. There's two other guys who have sort of had comparable careers, Quentin Grimes.
Right.
And so, yeah, you look at like outside the top 20.
Very successful draft pick.
He's like, somewhere between the second and fourth best player who came out of that draft outside the top 20.
How good does he have to be to make this contract worth it? In other words, what he has been is not worth this so far this year, very small samples, is not worth that deal.
The contract's kind of interesting because I feel like there was a trade-off between the per-year amount, which is what people think about, and the other aspects of the contract. The per-year amount was not a bargain, right? It averages out to like 17.5, I think. It's a little different year to year. But so the per-year number is not a bargain, especially for a guy coming off the bench. But it's unusual among those kind of contracts in that it's only a 3-year deal and the third year is a team option. So it seems to me like the Grizzlies gave up a little bit more on the actual salary amount in those first and second years in order to keep it at 3 and get a team option on the third. And so I feel like, not to start rumors or whatever, but I feel like given the Jaren Jackson, Zach Edey sort of situation there, that feels like a contract that's signed in part to be traded at some point to me.
The situation being,
he's not going to be a starter on this team,
right?
Yeah.
I'll let people read the piece. I was amazed. I didn't know they keep stats of most reverse dunks.
You got to do the work. There's nowhere that I know of. If someone knows, please let me know. You can just click a button and see the reverse dunk.
I was going to say most reverse dunk standings.
But the NBA play data, if you drill in deep enough. Like if you go to like the box score and the play by play, every shot is assigned and all that is collated somewhere. That is some pencil and paper work on my part to get all that together.
You can go read the Santi dunk stats at the Daily Memphian, and then you also have your piece on what's happening in Memphis film, Begonia.
Yeah, Begonia, the newest movie from Yorgos Lanthimos, this Greek director who did The Favorite and Poor Things, both of which were popular movies, Oscar, nominated, in some cases winning, not best picture, but winning movies. And this is him and actress Emma Stone together again. And she plays a corporate CEO who is kidnapped by a couple of conspiracy-minded guys who believe she is actually an alien.
Any good buzz?
Mixed, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
One of your favorites.
One of my favorites. I think, what did you call it? One of the most deeply unpleasant great films or something?
It's the only masterpiece I'll never watch a second time. So
you watched it. Not, you didn't see it in a theater.
No. I saw it in college or whatever. So.
Yeah. And then Night of the Hunter. What's that?
Night of the Hunter is one of the great films. I don't know how many people want to go, to the library in the middle of the day to watch a movie.
Right.
But if you do, do it. Go for it. But, watch it some other way if you haven't seen it. It's from the 1950s, mid-50s. There's the bit in that movie that's been imitated many times. The Simpsons spoofed it, and Spike Lee does it and Do the Right Thing. Maybe other people spoof it. The thing where you have a character who's got the words love and hate tattooed on each hand, and you put them together and do a little speech. That all comes from that movie, Robert Mitchum. It's basically like a very American version of a Grimm Brothers fairy tale. It's about this sort of preacher and this menacing preacher in the Depression era, I think it's West Virginia, and he's pursuing these two young kids who know the whereabouts of a stash of money he's trying to find. And it really is this almost Hansel and Gretel, Little Red Riding Hood kind of vibe to it. But it's a beautiful black and white, beautiful, poetic fairy tale kind of movie. One of the greats.
All right, Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Sam Hardiman on the other side. It's Jeff Calkinshaw, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian, covers the city. Before we get to matters of the city, we have several other matters that we have to discuss. First of all, Sam, we've been talking about a couple things today. First of all, Halloween. We've said that there are Halloween people and there are non-Halloween people. I'm going to, Jeffrey, what do you think? I'm going to say Sam is not a Halloween person.
I agree.
Sam?
I mean, can we talk about why y'all think I'm not a Halloween person?
Well.
Like, what's the theory?
Well, I think Halloween.
It's unserious.
there you go. I think Halloween people, this is as grown-ups. We're all Halloween people when we were seven. But then when you're a grown up, and it's about whether you really get into dressing up and doing. And I think I just can't see that with you. Maybe it's for the reason that Jeffrey said, it's not serious. What do you think?
You want to expand on that more, Jeffrey?
Yeah, it's kind of like nonsense. And you don't strike me as like a.
It's frivolous.
You don't strike me as a cosplay guy.
You're not a guy who dresses up.
I mean, unfortunately, this is absolutely accurate. I'm not a guy that dresses up. I just wanted to hear the logic behind it. Like, I think that there's like a potential, you know, for me to like, you know, get into Halloween someday if I have, you know, if I have kids, you know, if I have a family, I think I would maybe get back into
that's
it.
Different. Like, that's different. No, we're talking about adult Halloweening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I think the last time I dressed up, it was like my junior year of college. Right? Like, that was the last time.
So, growing up, were you always a hockey player? What were you growing up?
My mom was, like, really creative at making, like, these fantastic costumes, actually.
Really?
Yeah, she made this great Jack-in-the-Box one, where, like, she literally, like, put a box around me, and I had a little wheel that I could, like, wheel myself up. Not a wheel, but, like, a lever. Like, that was pretty awesome. It was, like,
wow, you'd
cool,
go
like,
up and down out of the box?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I was, like, you know, like a short
That's
little kid.
Good.
It worked. Yeah, and then she, like, sewed me a whole lion costume one time that was really good. I'm trying to remember. There was, like, a couple other really good ones. I never was, like, Batman, Superman. I was a firefighter one year. I remember being a firefighter, having a little axe that I was hitting people with. I remember enjoying the hitting of the people.
That's the brand. That works too.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, I think like, yeah, yeah, I think yeah, the junior year of college, you know, I remember that being a good time. But other than that, yeah, I'm not a Halloween person. I'll eat the candy afterward. I'll devour the candy.
All right, maybe we'll. Yeah. Okay, and then the other topic that we've been talking about is Disney, because John Martin has taken his kids to Disney. Did your mom and dad or take you to Disney when you were a wee one?
Yeah, they did, actually. They took me. I think I enjoyed it, if I recall. I mean, it was a while ago. I think, I remember, like, you know, swallowing too much chlorine in the hotel pool and then them having to close the pool because, you know, I maybe, you know, wasn't well in the pool.
You threw up in the pool?
I did throw up in the pool.
Oh,
I'm gonna own this.
Yeah, that's mortifying. Oh.
Yeah, that was 6-year-old me. I remember crying like hysterically about it.
Oh,
yeah. I think that was the last time we went. I don't think it had anything to do with the pool.
But it's funny because John was going was talking, and it was really the fact that that he can do this for his kids when his mom, you know, saved and saved and saved and finally put it on a credit card and stuff in order to take the kids to Disney. And it really, someone has tweeted me, my dad took me, my brother, my best friend to Disney when I was 15. He was making about $30,000 a year, probably saved for a decade. We stayed a week. It was awesome. Like, I do think that is, you know, for families to be able to do that. Maybe, like, there was a story recently, I don't know, it was in the New York Times, about how it's no longer, it used to be the American dream, and now it is like so much of America bifurcated. You can go rich Disney, that where you don't wait in lines and you stay whatever, and you can go, you know, but the general experience for Disney, there are two Disneys now. And it didn't used to be that way. It used to be, in fact, Walt Disney insisted that there be one experience, and that's just not true anymore. Your Disney involved throwing up in a pool. So that's a very different experience altogether. Okay, on to sports. I was thinking about this during the break. Pats have the Falcons this week. Bills have the Chiefs. If the Bills lose to the Chiefs, which they probably will, although they beat them in the regular season typically, but they're really banged up, and the Pats beat the Falcons, and they're favored to beat the Falcons, the Pats will have a one-game lead on the Bills, 1.5, because they've played an extra
with the tiebreaker. Right.
With the tiebreaker. Are you starting to really believe that the Pats are going to win the East?
No, I'm not believing that the Pats are going to win the East because, like, while I believe that the Pats are a good football team, I've gotten to the place mentally where I'm like, the Patriots, at least for this year, are good. Okay, I'm there mentally. I just think, like, we see weird things in the NFL all the time, right? We see genuinely weird things. Like, we see, you know, a Bengals team that looked like it was going to beat the hapless Jets, just cough up a lead like that, right? To Justin Fields, of all people. So I just feel that, as we've talked about, I think, like, Chris talks about this a lot, how success is not linear, right? And the linear thing right now would be the Patriots just, you know, ease into the AFC East title. It's a lovely new era in Foxborough. Brady who? Belichick who? I feel like there's a letdown coming, and there's a real possibility that it could be the Falcons, you know, and who knows?
So Jeffrey points out that the Falcons beat the Bills, and then they lost two of their best defensive lines.
Yeah.
And then
obviously now Penix is hurt, and Cousins looked really old on Sunday.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I'm not gonna say, like, we don't bring me on here for my football takes, obviously.
Well, but I mean, everyone likes to do the schedule. Not only is it schedule, oftentimes it's not only who you play, it's when you play them.
That's 100% true. I think, like, look, would I say that the Patriots have a 55-60% chance of winning the East right now? Yes, but they also have Josh Allen on the other side, and so I'm not betting against Josh Allen.
All right. Onward to the city of Memphis. I want to talk to you about two different legal matters. One is the lawsuit that has been filed about Governor Bill Lee's deployment of the National Guard to Memphis. First, just before we get to your most recent piece on what this hinges on, what's happening here? Give us some, give us the context of
the context here is, 2 weeks ago now, about 2 weeks ago now, several Shelby County legislators, local, city, council people and Shelby County commissioners and Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris sued the state of Tennessee and just said, essentially, what you're doing in Memphis with the National Guard is a violation of the Tennessee Constitution and state law, because you either need to have legislative approval to send in the National Guard, or you need local approval to send in the National Guard. And neither of these things have occurred. And so you, Governor Bill Lee, are acting illegally by sending the National Guard here. And they, asked for a temporary restraining order, which are very tough to get typically legally. And they did this in Davidson County, Chancellor Kurt, because that's where you sue the governor is Davidson County, because that's where the government is. And they filed this on the 17th of October. Later that day, a Davidson County chancellor said, no, I'm not going to issue a temporary restraining order against state government and against the Tennessee National Guard. I'm setting a hearing for November 3rd, which is next Monday. Okay. And that's where we are with this. And that's the context.
Okay. And the argument, though, it seems to boil down to, at least, whether the National Guard is an army or a militia. Why?
Yeah, that's correct, Jeff. And what I want to say first is that the state of Tennessee and its legal filings has been very careful and really hasn't cited any, from what I've seen so far, any state laws drawing the distinction between Army and National Guard. Okay. But what they have done is in a statement to the Daily Memphian that they issued, I think, 2 weeks ago now, or on the 20th of October, they said very clearly the Tennessee National Guard is the state's army. And then Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti wrote a letter, coincidentally, on October 17th to State Representative Gabby Salinas, a local Democrat, who is among the people suing Governor Lee. And in that letter, Salinas was questioning, hey, why can you treat the state militia this way? Because the state of Tennessee Constitution has specific wording around the militia and what the militia can be used for. And that includes rebellion and insurrection and stuff like that. And in that letter to Salina, Scrimeti said, and I'm paraphrasing him here, the state's army is the Tennessee National Guard, and the governor is the commander-in-chief of that. And he drew a distinction between militia and army, that there is a difference, so to speak.
I see. So the argument argument on the part of the plaintiffs is that you can't do these things without authorization because it's the militia, and the argument the state is saying no, it's not the militia, it's the army, and therefore these things don't apply. Is that
basically that's what they have said? But I want to keep in mind that they've said this in a letter to State Representative Gabby Salinas. They said it in a statement to the Daily Memphian. These are not things that have been entered as of yet into court records.
So Monday we will get a sense of whether of how this might play out. At that point, they can issue an injunction or not. All this, by the way, is about the National Guard. Let's just say that the court rules that the National Guard cannot that he has erred and incorrectly sent the National Guard to Memphis. They'd have to pull up stakes and leave. That's what would happen.
Most likely, yes. The National Guard would then have to leave and pull up stakes and leave. That would not apply to the rest of the Memphis State Task Force, which is really doing the bulk of the work.
That's what I was going to get to. Like, in the end, the presence that we are seeing here, whether it's the good stuff that people are applauding or whether it's the bad stuff that people are objecting to, none of it feels like it's being done by the National Guard. It's all being done by, like, when people are outraged, they're outraged by racial profiling and by what ICE is doing. And that's not National Guard. And if they're talking about the good things that are happening as marshals are arresting bad people, like, that's not the National Guard. So we're arguing about the National Guard. But the real impact of what is being done in Memphis, whether you think it's good or bad, is not really the National Guard. Is that correct?
That's right, Jeff. Essentially, this court case boils down to the National Guard, which has largely stood on street corners in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay? It does not boil down to the deployment of federal law enforcement to state law enforcement in copious amounts to Memphis, Tennessee. And that work would presumably continue despite what a Davidson County chancellor has to say about it on Monday.
So it seems more, okay. Okay, then the other case is, and I don't think you and I have discussed this, and this is something that more Laura Testino has been writing about more than you. I urge you to read Laura whenever you can at the Daily Memphian. She's terrific. But Marie Fagans, the former Memphis Shelby County School superintendent, was fired, and she has sued. At one point, she was asking to get her job back. I think she still is asking to get her job back, but she was asking to get it back on an emergency basis at one point, and that was denied. What's this lawsuit about, and what's the current status?
And so, please read Laura, who is much smarter and better at this than I am in many, many ways. I was sort of pinch hitting for Laura in a court hearing last week because she had some cool stuff going on. And so what's happening in this court case is simply Marie Fagans is still trying to get her job back or get damages, essentially, which would be severance in this case, most likely the severance that she believes she may be owed under a contract. And so what's happening in this court case right now is really the two sides, and the two sides being Memphis Shelby County Schools and Marie Fagans are fighting over who gets deposed in this. And Fagans is seeking to depose a whole slew of public officials, board members, I think cabinet officials in Shelby County, Memphis Shelby County Schools, essentially to gather evidence about whether her firing was legal or not. Okay. And the school district is in its own way, and this is very common, is seeking essentially to protect some of these people from being deposed and then also seeking discovery of their own. And as legal cases sometimes do, both sides maybe were in filings talking past one another, maybe, and I'm just saying this, potentially engaging in some subterfuge with one another. And during a court hearing last Thursday, Shelby County Circuit Judge Chris Frula essentially said, y'all cut it out, start working with one another. And I'm setting some deadlines in this case. I know both sides want to go to trial. From what I've seen so far, I don't think I could set a trial date because y'all wouldn't stick to it. And so that's the situation with Marie Fagans now, is the wheels of justice, or whatever we want to call it, are turning very slowly.
Sam, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, that's Sam. He loves a good Halloween costume. There's a man who loves a good Halloween costume, as long as an axe is involved. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, before then, I will tell you, if you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders is honestly, like, we've been very happy. And that's me, that's Claire, that's her kids. Leaders, they have a branch in Bartlett. They have a brand new branch in Arlington, and they're terrific. The technology is terrific. And because they are a credit union, they don't have stockholders who need to be, made happy. So instead, they can pour every single dollar back into better rates, better technology, better service, all of that. So if you are looking for a home loan, if you're looking for a auto loan, or if you're just looking for a fresh start because your bank irritates the heck out of you, or maybe you want to set up an account for your kid or whatever, look into it. Leaders. LeadersCU.com/ESPN and learn more. It's the Jeff Calkins Show. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been telling you about ProHealth, ProHealth Memphis. Listen, if you're feeling poorly and you decide you need to go in and do a sick visit somewhere, ProHealth would be the place to go. I say that because it's just miserable weather out there. It feels like this is a moment where you could be thinking about, where am I going to go when I start getting sick this winter? Well, ProHealth is there for you for that. But also, they can help you with weight loss. And we got about 2 months before January 1st, so it's a good time to start thinking about this. You don't want to be on December 31st lamenting the state of your existence and realizing you got to lose 20 pounds in the coming year. Get started now. Drop by ProHealth and see what they can do for you. Their weight loss shot, semaglutide, it curbs your appetite, helps you shed the extra pounds, and they don't just give you a shot and send you on the way. They track your progress. They're in it with you. It is ProHealth, ProHealthMemphis.com. They've got an office in Germantown, one in Collierville, one in Bartlett, and two in East Memphis. Again, ProHealthMemphis.com. Come, Jeffrey, got a nice bit of good news here from the folks at St. Jude. For the fourth year in a row, a study by Morning Consult, which is the gold-plated place that ranks trustworthiness among institutions, they ranked St. Jude Children's Research Hospital the most trusted nonprofit, period. Morning Consult called the St. Jude reputation score unparalleled. At 84.9, noting the average reputation score for nonprofits, 72.8, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. The highest reputation score for all 2,952 for-profit and nonprofit brands studied by Morning Consult in the United States, based on trustworthiness, ethics, social responsibility, relevance, and stakeholder value. Survey respondents were asked, how much do you trust this brand to do what is right? Isn't that it's competing. They're not competing. It's competing against the Red Cross. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like it is the most trusted nonprofit in the world right here in Memphis, Tennessee. We also, by the way, speaking of trusted, Nick Saban has weighed in on Lane Kiffin stuff. What'd he say?
Correct. So Chris Lowe's got a story over at On3, and when he was asked about Lane, quote, jobs that weren't great jobs before are now. Lane is the first name up for Florida and the first name up for LSU. But I think you can have a long debate on whether either one of those jobs is actually better than the job he has now, because he has some guys over there at Ole Miss that give him pretty much whatever he wants from a roster standpoint. He may not necessarily have the same thing at Florida or LSU. So you look at these jobs differently now. Yeah, maybe you've got facilities. Maybe you've got money. Maybe you've got alumni who are passionate about football. But are they willing to invest what you have to invest now to win? Because a lot of people still don't believe in this S.
Does he believe in this S? I think he believes that what you have to do for this. Like, he believes in the reality of the S, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Chris writes that, to be clear, Saban emphasized for the umpteenth time that he's not against players being paid. Right. It's the system he thinks is faulty and not good for anybody and ultimately has a major impact on what jobs are the most attractive. And no, he hasn't been tempted to get back into coaching.
Fascinating. This whole thing is absolutely fascinating. I got no idea how it'll play out, but it'll be interesting to watch. And meanwhile, football will be played. Football will be played.
Meaningful football.
Highly meaningful football will be played. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Coach Hurd will be with them today. Jason Munns will join me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.